Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Monday, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They'll take care of all your insurance needs, and they'll do so for the best price they can find. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury 5th and Hummel's Wharf. Dick Girardi is going to join us on the show Friday to talk about the Preakness, or excuse me, talk about the Belmont Stakes. Naturally, everyone wants to know, will the horse win? Who knows? Who knows? The single most unpredictable feat in sports. It's not like that Detroit Grand Prix they ran yesterday where, what, the first time there was a pass was the last time they passed.
Sundays was better than Saturday, I'll tell you that much.
It's okay, and let's now get out of irrelevant sports and into something else. All right.
UAB, bringing football back. How's that for relevance?
Well, you know what? That was totally mishandled at the top. Totally mishandled at the top. And I found it to be the original decision. And believe me, there'll be a lot of guys that Penn State faces this year that are UAB guys that have transferred, including the guy that's going to be the starting running back for Indiana's a UAB transfer. The UAB transfers all over some of these rosters because I've now done all the work on every game. I finally finished today. I did the last three basketball games today. Michigan, Michigan State, and Indiana. The UAB situation was one that was totally, completely mishandled across the board. At the top, and it was almost as if you sensed that there was some sort of agenda to get rid of it. And you know, I mean, look at the jobs, look at the play. I mean, the players have transferred out; they've already found homes.
That's what I was going to say. Who's going to play at this point for UAB? We're talking June now, and now you're going to announce at 5 o'clock today that football is back?
Well, they announced the president of the school, Ray Watts, announced 6 months ago they were going to disband football, rifle, women's bowling. And there was some consulting group that said that the expenses for football would grow to $38.5 million. But here's the bottom line. It's the only sport outside of men's basketball, and they have a really nice arena in men's basketball, although I will say this about their men's basketball program. That arena is 30... What was that arena now? 10, 20, 25... That arena is 27, 28 years old now. It's not that young. And they play at Legion Field in Birmingham. But they claim that expenses would go to $38.5 million. While revenue would increase by less than $1 million. And they said that's why they want to drop it. And I mean, they have not dropped, there's not been a major football program dropped in 20 years.
95,
Pacific was the last one. Yeah, Pacific was the last team that was dropped. And this team was bowl eligible. And then the players are like, what are we going to get a bowl bid?
Well,
they average 21,000 a game. Now, in Legion Field, you get a little bit lost at 21,000 a game. That means that you have 54,000 empty seats. Legion Field seats 75,000. Looks like a pit bowl game.
There's one reason why UAB has football coming back. And that's because Conference USA was going to kick them out if they didn't have football. And they had no idea how much it would cost them being out of Conference USA.
Of course.
That's why football's back. It's not because there was, you know, there's this all outrage and, you know, I get it. Right. I think it's great that the fans were that active about it and businesses wanted to get involved and they raised millions of dollars to show support. But let's face it, that's what the deciding factor was. Conference USA said, hey, no football, no Conference USA, you get no money. And UAB looked at it and went, oh, we didn't plan on that.
They're not going to put a team out this year. It's such a long shot. It's such a long shot for them. So 2016 would be the way to do it. Yeah, and I will say this: I mean, the guy that's been coaching him says he's interested in keeping the job, but they've had guys transfer out already. Jamari Staples goes to Louisville. Okay. Jake Gannis goes to Georgia. Victor Seleko goes to Oklahoma State. But those aren't the only ones. I mean, there are others across the board in this thing that have decided they're going to go other places, and Penn State will face some of these guys this year. The running back, who was their leading rusher last year, he ended up at Indiana. Yeah, pretty good, you know, pretty good football player. He's going to be the guy they expect to take the place of Tevin Coleman at running back. I mean, and he's a guy that, you know, that would have been the mainstay of what they're doing there. Kid by the name of Jordan Howard. And Jordan Howard is a guy that has 11 100-yard rushing games in his career. It's not bad. He'll be the starting running back this year at Indiana. I'm almost sure of that. You know, as long as he remains healthy, obviously. And that's not the only guy out there that transferred, you know, that Penn State will face. I think a couple of those guys ended up going to Buffalo. As a matter of fact. Take a quick look, Buffalo. Jordan Collier, defensive back, he transferred. Colin Lisa, the wide receiver, transferred. They're both going to play for Buffalo. The transfers that Penn State's now going to face this year. And those are all among the top players. As you mentioned correctly, Conference USA's bylaws mandate that its member schools have an FBS-level football program. Well, that's how they do conference revenue sharing. And that's why I'll be honest with you, that's what I found that the original decision to be so baffling. Because you get TV money. It's not on the same level as what the Big Ten does or the SEC or the ACC, Pac-12, Big 12. But Conference USA still pays out television money. They have a television contract. Well, how are you going to get any money into the school if you don't have a football program?
I just thought it was funny that the whole time UAB is not having football, they still have football on their athletics page.
Well, yeah, you have to remember that most of these updating web pages is a major bone of contention for those who actually go to them. Some are really, really good. Dave Baker in his class, my good friend Dave Baker, he teaches the sports information component in the Curley Center for Sports Journalism. I teach the broadcasting part of it. And Dave and I talk all the time about, you know, especially about websites. And they do website evaluations. And it's interesting what when you... I mean, I use websites, obviously, to do what I do. In fact, I've just gone through 5 weeks, and in 5 weeks, I've looked at literally every website in the Big Ten, and obviously, I've looked at several non-conference websites, everything from Colorado to SMU to, you know, Radford, people like that, okay? Bucknell. And some are really, really good. And some, I'll tell you one. Let me give you an example of one that is impossible to navigate. And I should say impossible, but they make it very difficult for you to do your job.
Challenging.
That's Maryland. It's Maryland. Maryland makes it really tough. You sit there and go, well, what's the purpose behind this? Then you flip to the other side. You know it's really good? Michigan.
By the way, Michigan, we should mention, I just got a message that said UAB is, and that's University of Alabama, Birmingham.
Oh, yeah. University of Alabama, Birmingham. Surprised we have to explain that. Because I've been, with Gene Bartow, they were basketball, very strong in basketball for years. I'll tell you a funny story about them. 89. Penn State went down there to play in the Blazer basketball tournament. In fact, I know it was. This was the week that it was announced that Penn State was going to the Big Ten. So Penn State, there's a press conference where it's announced that Penn State has the opportunity to go into the Big Ten. That night, we fly to Birmingham. And Ron Bertovich, who's just one of the nicest guys on the planet, I like Ron a lot, he's the commissioner of the Atlantic 10, is waiting for us in the lobby down in Birmingham that night. And says, Ron's protecting his turf, so I completely understood. He looks at me and says, I'll tell you, you guys made a big mistake. I'm like, Ron, I don't really think so. Okay. But there was a, because it was a tournament, it was Penn State, San Diego State, UAB, and Southwest Texas State. And Penn State was scheduled to play UAB in the opening game because they wanted that game to be on ESPN. That's why they were scheduled in the first round of the tournament. It was going to be an ESPN game. And that's why the Commissioner Bertovich was down there. So they have they want to do everything first class down there at UAB, a brand-new arena, 9,000 seats, really nice place back then. And they have a banquet the night before. And so they introduce the president of the university, and then they introduce the vice provost of the university, and he speaks. And when we're done, the wife of the vice provost comes up to me, and she says, Hi, my name is Edith. I says, hi, Edith. Nice to meet you. She says, we're related. I say, we are? She says, my name is Edith Jones. She says, I'm actually your cousin. And she'd be a cousin with my father's cousin. Like, oh, my God, small world.
You should go to reunions more often, I guess.
Probably should. Yeah. Yeah, it's the same way with working with you. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you think you can't afford a new car, Sundary Motors Hyundai says you can. Sundary Motors Hyundai is Central Pennsylvania's volume Hyundai dealer. We sell volume by making brand new Hyundais more affordable than other import brands. Listen to this. A brand new 2016 Hyundai Elantra Value Edition comes with push button start, sunroof, Bluetooth, alloy wheels, and sells for only $17,827 or $218 per month. You have to hurry because these 29 Elantras will be gone in 2 weeks. All new Hyundais come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. A brand new Elantra with lots of stuff for only $218 per month and comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty.
And it's not a lease, you own it.
No wonder Sunbury Motors Hyundai is the volume Hyundai dealer in Central PA. Sonatas, Santa Fe's, Tucson's, and Velocitors are all priced at volume pricing. Remember, when you think you can't afford a new car, Sunbury Motors Hyundai says you can. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
$218 per month for 84 months at 3.89% with 10% down plus tax and tags.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Ah, yes, for those who are wondering what the fight song was when UAB scored a touchdown, that's it.
They scored a few. Sure, they had some successful seasons there in the early 2000s.
They were bowl eligible this year. They went 6-6. I told you about the kid that's going to Indiana. The kid had 11 100-yard rushing games. Pretty good running back.
By the way, they were scheduled to play at Tennessee, home for Georgia State, home for South Alabama, and at Troy.
Well, the Tennessee game would have reaped them, I would guess, in the neighborhood of between 700,000 and a million as a guarantee to play the game.
Wow. I can't see how that doesn't pay for itself.
Right, that's standard now. In other words, by playing a game at Tennessee, the guarantee in all likelihood was going to be between 700,000 and a million.
Last year they played in Arkansas.
They would have garnered pretty much the same kind of coin there. And that's what you see these schools do. These schools are very smart about how they schedule non-conference. I realize that it is easy for the average fan to criticize, playing these one game only deals, because everybody wants to play Alabama and Texas every week. I got that. But you're not going to get a winning season or get to where you need to go by doing that every single week. At the same time, for the programs in the Mid-American Conference, in Conference USA, where they can go and they can play a road game like that, the financial benefit to them is tremendous. Plus, it's a big thrill for them. You don't think it's a thrill for the UAB kids to go out there and play a game at Neyland Stadium? 100,000 fans there? They run out there and go, man, this is really, really cool. It means something to them. There's more benefits to this than just you sitting there going, I can't believe they're playing UAB. There are reasons why these things are done. And you can't play Alabama, Texas, and USC every week. But you do have to schedule smart these days. And I know, for example, and also you have to constantly explain things to people. Take the Penn State situation. The number of people this week at Coaches versus Cancer complaining to me about 5 straight home games and look who they've scheduled. And then you explain to them, remember when this was scheduled, when they thought they were going to have 65 scholarship players this year and 15 per year for the second straight year. And the light bulbs all went off every time I talked. They go, oh, that's right. They don't schedule things for the upcoming season in April. It doesn't happen that way. These games were all scheduled back in 2012. Where they looked around and said, uh-oh, what are we going to do? BYU was going to be a home and away. Well, by mutual agreement, they got out of that one. Now, eventually, you're going to get to the point where on your schedule, you're going to have that second game be a meat and potatoes game, because you need the RPI. And that's what my argument is when people talk to me about, oh, Pitt, I look at groups now and I tell them straight out, okay, what are your goals? Is it the traditional Penn State, I want to win the national championship, or is it to beat Pitt? Because right now, beating Pitt doesn't help you get to the national championship. There's not enough RPI down. You beat a middle-of-the-road ACC team. All right? Like scheduling Iowa State. Dick Girardi on Friday, and I was telling Kevin, it looks like we've got a real shot in July to have both Joe Buck and Greg Norman on.
On News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias. Happy Monday. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors here with 11 at 15 Hummel's Wharf, where Kevin Herr has a new vehicle all clean and set to go.
Yeah, it's the Hyundai Sonata 2.0 Sport Turbo. And let me tell you, this thing has everything you could ever want in a vehicle, including one of my favorite options. That is...
Gas pedal? No.
And it has nothing to do with the seat either. So
thank goodness.
Before you start with that.
You and your seat.
It does have
about seat in America outside of Jennifer Lopez.
It does have a heated and cooled seat, though, but that's not my favorite option. My favorite option is the lane assist that will tell you when you've crossed over the lane. And... it has adaptive cruise.
Did you put yours to abuse?
No.
Idiot, get back!
It does have a rather loud beep to it, because I wanted to see exactly what this one did. And it has a loud
Stupid.
Beep to it, and it does say, it does give you an image of crossing over the line. Which I've only done in safe zones and on purpose. But the
jerk.
Exactly. The adaptive cruise, though, is the best feature I've ever seen in a vehicle. And this one has it from Sunbury Motors. The Hyundai Sonata 2.0 Turbo Sport allows you to set the distance you want to be with the car in front of you. And you set the cruise. Now, if you're setting the cruise at 55 and the car in front of you is doing about 45, your car will compensate. And you don't have to touch the brake or the accelerator the entire time you're behind the vehicle, and you're already at a safe distance.
Around them.
Well, there aren't passing zones anymore on my traveling to work. They took them all out almost. So, but find out more on my Facebook page.
Better.
Also, follow me on Twitter at Kevin Herr and see it at Sunbury. See the details on it at sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury.
Great. And, of course, this is Monday, thus we are brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. You want professionals that can navigate the insurance world for you, find the best prices at the right coverage? Well, Purdy Insurance, that's the group I trust. You should, too.
By the way, we did have a WKOK News Alert and Text Connect message go out of an accident on Mile Hill Road in Upper Augusta Township. Life Flight is en route. We'll have more details as soon as possible.
Okay. All right. Catch up to date here. Dick Girardi about the Belmont Stakes coming up on Friday. And as I mentioned, I had a long talk with my old friend Pete Kowalski. I've known Pete now for almost 30 years. Kevin sitting back saying, you've known almost everybody for 30 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've known just about everybody since the beginning of time.
But Pete goes back to Penn State here in the mid-'80s. He was the liaison for basketball. He was the assistant athletic director in charge of basketball as the sports information director. And he had come back for Fran Fisher's services, because essentially it was really Fran that got him going here. And then Pete was in charge of basketball here at Penn State. Then he was in charge of media relations across the board at Rutgers before then landing the job as the head of media for the United States Golf Association. And Pete's really good at his job. And Pete comes back to the Coaches versus Cancer Tournament every year. Pete and I go back 30 years. Just one of the great, he and Sandy and the kids are great. Just tremendous. Well, I'm talking to Pete the other day, and Pete, he comes across the room and he says, hey, I need to talk to you, Steve. I said, sure. He said, the U.S. Women's Open is going to be at the Lancaster Country Club. And I was telling him that one of the guys at the Penn State golf courses got a job at the Lancaster Country Club just 3 weeks ago, working down there. Now we're talking about that. He says, hey, you know, He said, tickets, media thing. He said, hey, I'll do whatever you need. I said, I'll go down there. Sure. I said, hey, on the flip side, I said, it'd be great. I said, what avenue do we have to maybe get Joe Buck or Greg Norman on? He goes, how about both? I said, great. And then he says, look, I have a lot of great contacts with Fox and so forth. He says, because Fox now has the USGA contract. He says, and they're, of course, trying to get the word out. And especially with the power of the station, WKOK, which he knows about. And he says, that's exactly the market we're trying to reach. He says, I think we got a real shot at getting both of them on the show in July. Now, they're going to be in a run of these right now where they're going to go to Chambers Bay first, then the U.S. Senior Open, then it's the Women's Open. And the Women's Open will be at Lancaster Country Club. So with it being in our own backyard, we have put in the request, and based on connections, for Joe Buck and Greg Norman to be on the show in the next 5 weeks. How about that? Kevin's excited just to make the calls.
I just want to make a phone call, yeah, to Greg Norman and say, listen, I love your shirts, man.
That'll also mean that I'll have to take advantage of the situation. Why? Because after Kevin's intro like that, it'll be the last time Greg Norman's on the show. So we'll have to take advantage of the one shot.
It's not like I asked him for a free shirt. But if he wants to offer one, I'm fine with that, too.
Oh. How'd you guys end up losing Greg Norman? Well, Kevin asked him for a shirt.
I don't know. I thought we had it locked. It's just weird.
I don't know. Well, it's going to be them working their way back east because they'll go from Chambers Bay, and then the U.S. Senior Open is the week after that, and it's going to be at Del Paso Country Club in Sacramento. And then it gets to Lancaster. How about that? Michelle, we defending your championship. Maybe get her on the show. No? And by the way, Lancaster Country Club will be hosting the U.S. Women's Open. Just great to bring it back to Pennsylvania. And then Pennsylvania gets the men's open next year, Oakmont. And we have already put ourselves in a position to be at the practice rounds next year for the men's open at Oakmont. Do you like that, Kev? Yeah.
Maybe I won't even take vacation this time and go along.
Yes, Sarah Bartlett was actually on with me when I did the show from Marion. I had Matt Kuchar on, we had Dick on.
I was driving by Marion, actually, at the time, waving, but you didn't see me.
Exclusive club. I felt protected. that was a good one. Cindy posted on her Facebook page about Devin and Leah Still being honored with an ESPY coming up. The unfortunate part is Leah Still has not had a good couple of weeks. So that's the tough part. So there's, you know, she's struggling a bit right now.
Well, she just had, was it stem cells or?
Yeah, and it's not. Yeah.
They had a stem cell. Yeah, the quote was that there's a serious complication following the stem cell procedure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is, that's tough.
But the good news is she, in March, she was listed as cancer-free. That's the positive side.
Right.
So.
Right. By the way, the U.S. Women's Open is July 9th to the 12th, just so you know. And it's also the 70th annual event at Lancaster Country Club. Another place where if Kevin and I were members, You'd ask what's wrong with their membership. Any place that would allow the two of us to be members.
The Jones guy is fine. He plays well. But the guy he has with him, I have no idea where he's hitting the ball. Isn't that funny? Neither does he.
You played well last time. As soon as you got out of the first, what, four or five holes?
It takes me three holes to finally get every muscle loosened up.
You know, you finally, you know, you hit some on the back nine. What hole did we start at? We started on the par three.
We were on three.
When we started on three, so we started on the par three, over the creek, and you know that's a hard hole to start on. But we were okay. We parted because I hit my tee shot 20 feet to the right of the hole.
Yeah, you were on the green.
Yeah, and but then on the back nine. You hit a huge drive on 12. You hit a huge drive on 13. You hit a huge drive on 14. You hit a huge drive on 16. But you kind of found your game a little bit. That's why I was encouraging you to play a little bit more.
I was driving the ball well in the back nine, and the chutter had knocked one in for birdie. I mean, I was having a good day on the back nine.
Yeah. I wouldn't really announce that too much if I were you. We ended up winning our flight. They might take it away from us if they found out we're using an illegal club.
After further review,
the chutter is illegal.
Nobody threw a challenge flag. Game over.
Yeah, maybe this time I'll end up with pick stuff out myself.
Who knows? You never know. You know, I was
thinking. You're right. You never know.
You know, I was talking about challenge flags and football. I was thinking the other day that we've already, and we've actually already heard teams that are making plans for 2-point specialists this year in the NFL because of the quote unquote disadvantage of kicking the extra point. That's interesting.
91% of 32-yard field goals were made last year.
Right. Which is 6%, well, no, 7% lower, or 7% lower than the extra point where it was. I think it was 99% or 98% were made.
Right. I mean, that's...
But I love this idea, Steve. As a fan of football, I absolutely love this idea at the NFL level only.
Except if they had run line at the 1-yard line instead of the two, I think you might see people actually trying what you're talking about.
I don't know. I think you're going to see teams, especially early in the season, maybe take a chance on that 2-point conversion. Just to see what the percentage is. Do you know off the top of your head? You have every other statistic known to man. What is the percentage of 2-point conversions, the success rate?
The success rate? I'm not sure. I thought it was around 50%.
I'm going to check that one out. That seems to be about right. 2-point conversion statistics for 2014.
I thought it was like 50.2 or 50.4, some number like that.
Oh, great. That's done by team.
Oh, disgusting. Now, the number they take in a year has actually gone down. So...
let's see. Do we have a breakdown that's not by team?
Oh, jeez.
No.
No, of course not.
No.
No, of course not.
Not that I can find quickly, anyway. But I like this idea. I really do. I was very excited to hear that because the extra point has been pointless for a long time.
Well, that's the difference between what the NFL's doing and what other people are doing. I've talked about this DH debate here for a while. Again, if they decide on one set of rules in baseball and they say, look, the pitchers are going to hit, I'd sit there and go, okay, well, at least I got one set of rules. I'd say that. I really would. But if you want to be progressive and think a little bit outside the box, the NFL has taken essentially a meaningless play and has put some juice into it. Well, that's cool. I like that. At least they're thinking a little bit outside the box. I like that. And I think that's the part that's the big part, is that when you think a little bit outside the box. And that's been the problem with baseball's had some people that have thought outside the box. DH was one of those ideas. And I know we've talked about this before, but that's one of the areas when I look at, sports being progressive. The NBA has been able to be progressive in terms of you call a timeout, you advance the ball. All right, now, am I really for that rule? I don't really like that rule, but I'm used to it now. I don't really like that rule, but okay. It makes for a better ending to games. All right. It's progressive. FIBA, not to be confused with FIFA, has put in a rule starting this year I really like. They have a 24-second shot clock. On an offensive rebound, you get 14. Why? Well, they give you 10 seconds to bring the ball up. The ball's already there. You don't need 10 seconds. I think that's a rule that is worth looking at. In hockey, they took out the two-line pass. Wow, has that opened up the game? Now, it hasn't opened up scoring. That's because the big reason why is you see more blocked shots now than ever in the NHL. And I think the equipment has a lot to do with that. You're better padded. And people forget, everybody wears a helmet now, and almost everybody wears a face shield. So you're more apt to go down now and block a shot because you're better protected in the head and face area. But taking out that two-line pass and the trapezoid where the goalie can handle it, I think those are really two smart, progressive rules. What they've done with replay, smart and progressive. What the NFL has done in terms of opening up the pass game, now trying to do something with the extra point, which is a meaningless play. And it's not as if baseball hasn't done things to unify things. Baseball has done things to unify things. Let's start with umpiring. You used to have a different strike zone in the American League than the National League. I'm saying different strike zone. Let's take everybody back. You had an American League president and a National League president. Now you don't have either. And everything falls under the commissioner. Each league had their own umpires. Now, the umpires work just games. There's no league affiliation for them at all. They just work games. When it was just the American League and the National League of umpires, the American League umpire wore the balloon chest protector and was up above the catcher's head, while the National League umpire wore an inside protector and was ducked down behind the catcher's shoulder. Well, if you notice now, there is no chest protector balloon anymore. That's been tossed out. And you have umpires umpiring it the way the National League was. Consistent, same strike zone all the way through. No difference between American League and National League strike zones anymore. No difference. Well, now they've got to unify this part of it. And I say, if they wanted pitchers to hit, fine. Yeah, that's fine. But be progressive. Throw the DH in there.
Steve, I have Dick from Milton on the line here trying real quick.
Go ahead, Dick.
Steve Jones, how are you?
I'm well.
Hey, real quickly, they've tweaked baseball, they've tweaked football, they've tweaked basketball, they even tweaked NASCAR racing occasionally by the restrictor plates. How come they never do anything to actually make soccer more exciting so those 100,000 people always have something to cheer about? Go ahead.
The one thing they could do in soccer is eliminate offside.
Yeah, but really it is not a very high-scoring, obviously, sport, which people go to see, right. I would think. I just can't get all that excited about even really big time professional soccer would, and I know the guys are very good, and also the women. I mean, I know that they play at a very high level. It's just that, you know, when somebody wins 1-1 in a hockey, in a soccer game, I can't get all excited about 90 minutes of soccer. I guess that's me. So.
Well, this is why this, you want to know why it's popular right now. It's gaining popularity.
Well, it's easy to play, and in a sense, it's easy to fund a soccer team compared to everybody else, other sports. I know that.
But the other part too is, Dick, running clock, huge.
Yeah, I understand that. You go to a
soccer match. You're going to be there 1 hour and 45 minutes. That's it. That includes the start. That includes intermission. That includes the end. You're going to be there. Your commitment is going to be 1 hour and 40 to 1 hour and 45 minutes. You're done. It's over. And they don't mess around with it. You know, and that's, I think that's a major appeal for a lot of people in terms of the time commitment that a soccer game gives you, as opposed to, I love the timeliness of baseball. And the time of today's game, 3 hours and 40 minutes before a dwindling crowd of 21,000.
Well, I don't doubt that these, you know, it's a lot faster game in that respect, time-wise. But, you know, I guess if you're going to go to see a professional sporting event and pay the kind of money it is, what's the difference if it takes an extra 15 or 20 minutes?
But Dick, they're less expensive. But, Dick, they're less expensive. Soccer has not priced itself out. The MLS ticket prices are really solid for families.
Well, I do know this to be true. Some of the highest paid athletes in the world are professional soccer players, so somebody's paying them, even if it's not the guy buying the ticket. Somebody's
That's British Premier League, English Premier League you're talking about. The TV contract they just got from Sky Sports, it's unbelievable. Ticket prices to go to Anfield and to go to Chelsea and to go to Man U and to go to Wembley in England are actually pretty high. Ticket prices here for MLS are actually very family friendly and actually relatively inexpensive.
Understand. The other thing in Europe, in those places, like most of the countries over there, they're not competing. Their soccer teams are not competing with football, basically an NFL football team, a baseball franchise. They're not repeating.
True.
So the fans basically don't, other than rugby and, you know, cricket or something in India, they don't have a lot of competition for a
very
lot of those
good
things.
Very
but
good
that's
points.
That's my point. But I just,
good points.
Obviously, it's not the same game, and, you know, and I'll let you go, but I do think lacrosse is coming back big time here. Obviously, it's a real big popular sport. And the one that really surprised me, the NCAA rugby competition was on this week, and they said it was the fastest growing sport, but I'm not sure where. I mean, obviously, because you don't see a lot of rugby around here, so.
No, and you know what? When they were discussing what to do with men's hockey here, men's ice hockey, women's rugby was actually a major part of the conversation before they settled on women's ice hockey. We have to take a break. Top of the hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.